Hello everybody and welcome to this one-cheeked Exploding Barrel Podcast. We are going to jam with the rest and not slam with the best. Huh?
You mixed it up.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
said slamming's the good and jamming's the bad.
What did I say?
You said it the other way around. Off to a good start, I
yeah,
see.
Okay. Anyways, this is the podcast for May 29th, 2009.
Seriously?
2009. Okay, this is good. This is me, Mike Minotti, and Adgar Minotti.
Making our triumphant return.
Yes, and joining us is Pete Angry Jedi Davison.
Good evening.
Yes, and I just want to thank everyone who jumped in last week to be on the show.
Yes, huge props to Scribble, Rock, Fiend, and Beige. They did a phenomenal job, and we did very much enjoy listening to our podcast without us on it, which was a very strange and surreal experience.
Right, but no, they did a great job. As I predicted, they took the opportunity to make a Forgotten Realms game the game of the year, which is good.
Oh, good call. I should open up that list.
Right. We had a lot of fun listening to it. They did a great job, and it's actually one of the most popular episodes of the show.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
How does that make you feel, boys?
Well, I think
like a jerk.
It just proves what I always thought. Adj Guy is the weak link. We need to get him out of here. So, today's show, we're going to do the typical thing. We're going to start off with the news. Then it's Game of the Year 2001. Very prestigious year, I suppose. And then the Great American Adj Guy Gaming Quiz will make its triumphant return, inspired by the games of 2001. Then we'll talk about our week in gaming, which for me is nothing because I was
hold
away.
The mic closer to your mouth.
Why? Is it not close enough
well,
to
look
my
at
mouth?
The, look at the bars.
Look at the bars?
Yeah.
Shut up. Okay. I was on a roll there.
I know. That's why I had to stop you.
And I know you're not going to edit that awkwardness out.
No,
you
no.
You
it's
just
good
keep
stuff.
It in there. Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Good stuff. You say it's good stuff. It's not really good stuff. You just don't want to bother
it's
with
less
it.
Work for me. We keep going.
We still seem to be just small on the bars.
Here, I'll adjust stuff. Keep talking.
All right. So then we'll do our week in gaming. Then we're going to talk about the game releases of the last week. And that'll be everything.
Okay.
Good.
Let's go with news. So they mentioned last week about Fallout having a Game of the Year edition coming out and the DLC coming to the PS3. Also, they announced the next two pieces of DLC. One is called Point Lookout, which we talked about before to have been revealed in the retail pack. The other, Mothership Zeta, where you'll get abducted by aliens.
Now, you think these two packs are going to be like the equivalent of Operation Anchorage in the Pit, and then there's going to be a third one with, like, a really big thing and another level increase?
I don't know. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind there will be a sixth, since it seems like they're retail packing these by twos.
It's two epic trilogies.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. For one, be a fan of that. And I'm glad they announced this now because I finished Operation Anchorage. I'm at level 24, so I'm just going to stop until Point Lookout comes out at sometime at the end of June.
You know what? That's another thing I have to do. I got to play through all these Fallout 3.
Yeah, you do. Jeez, you do.
I got a lot of gaming to do.
They're so good.
Good thing I don't have a job right now.
Continuing. We got another villain reveal in Batman Arkham Asylum. It is Poison Ivy.
Oh, boy.
She's there. I just really want that game, is all.
Yeah, I know. Is, like, the Riddler in it yet?
No. Let's see. Going
or
off
Mr.
the top
Freeze,
of my head.
Or, like, the cool people.
The list is, so far, Joker, obviously, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn.
Do we have Man-Bat?
No.
I like Man-Bat.
Just those four so far.
Okay.
This Sunday was the debut of the Modern Warfare 2 trailer on TNT during the Abysmal Cavaliers game. Strangely enough, the trailer was cut off halfway through by another commercial, but it is online. It's a cool trailer.
I guess so. I mean, this is one of those things I just look at it and I'm like, yeah, I mean, this is what I would expect.
Yeah,
it's not that it's bad, but, you know, want more Modern Warfare without the Call of Duty. I still don't understand there's no Call of Duty thing. Okay, keep going.
I'm going to let it go. So Nintendo has announced their plans to release the Metroid Trilogy. Instead of doing new play control versions of Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2, they're putting all three games on one disc, all with the new Wii controls except for Prime 3, which already is a Wii game, for $50.
That is pretty cool.
I think that's a sweet deal.
I mean, because I was really looking forward to finally beating Metroid Prime 1.
And I've never beaten 2, so.
Right. How many of these have you played, Pete?
Nintendo, so.
Yeah. Did you beat all of these, Pete?
No, I've not played any of them. So I'm
any
quite,
of them?
Yeah, no, so I'm quite interested in this pack because I hear they're very good. So I might give them a go.
Yeah. Yes, they are. This will be excellent. I'm pretty excited about this. That's a good, see, look, that's a good idea. They can have good ideas every once in a while.
Yeah, it's been known to happen.
Yeah.
It's all right, a so good idea with an old game, though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. We'll take it.
Continuing. Okay, so I think this is really cool. A Swedish developer called A Different Game has shown their plans for an augmented reality game called Ghostwire coming to the DSi. Where the what augmented reality basically is you like look through the world through the DSi using the camera, and it will superimpose like images from the game into your real world settings.
Hmm.
And so you're like looking for ghosts and trying to figure out what's bothering them so you can get rid of them and stuff. It's kind of like the movie Casper.
Like, what are you supposed to do for them once you find out what's wrong with them?
It's like The Sixth Sense, you know? They got things that are troubling them.
What do you... Okay. What would trouble ghosts you? What would make you stay here in the real world and not move on to the spirit realm?
I don't know, like if you were wrongfully murdered.
If I murdered you, would you be staying around as a ghost?
If, like, they thought it was suicide and it was actually you and I had to prove that it was you so I could rest, then yes.
So I could rest. Okay. Anyways, next.
Pixel Junk 1-4 has a name. It is now called Pixel Junk Shooter, which I like mine was Pixel Junk Spelunker.
That's a terrible name.
Do you even know what the game looks like?
Not really.
Well, it fits.
Why, is there a lot of spelunking?
Well, you're going through caves and saving people. Now, Pete, did you pick any names for it?
I did not know.
No, we did not. No one else made up names before they existed, Ash guy.
That was the contest.
There was a contest?
Yeah.
And they chose Pixel Junk Shooter? What was that one contest? Oh. For
Name the Puzzle Quest expansion.
What was it called?
It was called, like, Revenge of the Plague Lords, and you weren't far off from your
Revenge
guess.
Of the Plague Lords. That was, oh my god, I hate when they have people name these things.
But it's just funny to me because, like, the first Pixel Junk game was that Pixel Junk Racer, which was pretty abysmal, and everyone wrote off, and it was like, oh, it's a ridiculous name and a stupid game. And then, like, Monsters came out, and it was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And, like, everyone thinks Pixel Junk Eden's, like, the best thing ever.
Hmm.
It's good, but people, I think,
I always
kind of
thought that Pixel Junk Monsters was the most popular one.
Hmm.
I'm still waiting for that to come out on PSP, and I'll get it then,
hmm.
Which is happening.
It's a non-PS3 owner. I didn't even know that Pixel Junk Racer existed.
Mm-hmm. It's like a slot car racing
game.
I guess
I always knew that there was one before Monster, but I didn't know what it was.
That's basically what it is for a lot of people, yeah. It's not that great. It's okay.
So I guess like the Street Fighter 1, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now, speaking of things that are great, or not great, but okay, we have a new Tony Hawk
speaking
ride
of things,
coming.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I don't know.
Good transition, as you guys.
Oh, shut up. We'll see when you say it like that. Tony Hawk Ride, which we saw the controller revealed, although like it's just like a picture of it. We don't know how it works. It's been priced on GameStop. It's not official, but they're asking for $120.
Now, see, what I say is just think of it as, you know, you didn't have to buy a Tony Hawk game last year for a change. So you're just playing that $60.
You're just paying it forward.
Right. I don't know. This game is still, it's entirely up in the air right
now. It's going to have to be like,
I have no idea.
It's going to have to review like 9s and 10s across
the board.
Exactly.
Like I need people to tell me that this game is actually worth it. Because right now I am not sold on the concept.
Is this the one where they said with the controller you actually have to do a kickflip in order to do a kickflip?
Yeah, and if that's the case, like, well, what the fuck? Just go
skateboard. Just go and skate properly.
Yeah, I just don't get... What about fat people, you know?
how the hell are they going to...
Somebody please think of the fat people.
Well, who the hell in their living room is going to do a kickflip on a stationary board without breaking the damn thing
even,
is what I want to know.
I just don't get it. What a great idea for kids. There's nothing... I just don't understand it.
I don't either. I guess we'll see. Hopefully E3 will reveal all. So we have a new Star Wars Battlefront game announced. It's called Battlefront Elite Squadron for the DS and PSP.
DS?
Yeah. Hmm. They just showed some PSP screens. The trick of this one is that battles take place simultaneously on the planet surface, in space, and inside of, like, the capital ships, and it all affects each other.
Mm.
The only thing is, like, the PSP version, I think it's, like, 16-player multiplayer online. The DS version is only 4.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing bots will fill it out. It's also going to have a story single-player mode where you play as a force-sensitive clone trooper who is able to ignore Order 66.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Should be riveting.
Man, I still wish that they made that one Battlefront game. that like had like the evil Obi-Wan Kenobi in it.
You never
that,
know. Like, it might still happen.
Well, we'll see.
Never say never. Except if your DLC character... Shit, I fucked it up. Oh, that was going to be so good.
That was not going to be that good.
Never say never. They're not going to do any character DLC for Street Fighter 4.
What is that? What do you mean exactly? No new characters?
Yeah, no new characters. Just a download. They fear that it will segment the market.
I understand.
Plus, then they could just release like Street Fighter 4 Championship Edition like, in 6 months.
A Street Fighter like 3 character pack, that would have been cool, you know? Get some of those characters in it.
Or a Marvel vs. Capcom character pack. Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, you like
that.
Put the
mic out of your mouth. Jeez.
Oh, man.
We're going to buy headsets, so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
No, we have these super expensive microphones. They're awesome. Super,
these were $5.
But the microphones, it... Continue.
So, Rockstar is once again proving that they're huge douchebags by announcing the next GTA 4 download episode, The Ballad of Gay Tony. The logo is very fabulous looking. And by no doubt, in 6 months' time, this will be on Fox News, and we're going to have to be explaining to everybody that they're a bunch of jackasses, and they do not speak for the entire industry, and we would like them to go away, too.
The sad thing is, there's a lot of people, though, that are like, oh, this is cool. You know, there's a lot of people who just will go with it, you know?
I guess. That's the problem.
I don't know. I'm just sick of Rockstar and their shenanigans. I am. Unless it's Red Dead Redemption.
Well, that's Rockstar San Diego, as George has explained to me, and apparently they're okay. We like them.
It's just, I'm just sick of it. Like, I bought Chinatown Wars, because, like, it happens every time, because everything gets so well reviewed, and it's like, oh, you know, this is great, great, great. And again, I'm like, I don't like GTA. Why do I keep doing this?
I told you, I was shaking my head just now, but no one could see it.
No, yeah, visual cues don't translate well on
podcasts.
That's
why I said it. They also, with this announcement, said that they'll be bringing the two episodes as a retail standalone disc for $40 that does not require GTA 4,
what
which is
the other
probably
one
good idea.
Lost
in the Damned?
Yeah, that's
so
it.
We can call this the Lost in Gay Tony. That was bad.
Good one.
That was awful.
I'm terrible. Move on.
Okay. So, Africa...
Oh, here's an easy target. I don't think of something to say about Africa.
Okay, yeah. It's coming to the U.S. We don't have a date or anything, but it's coming.
Is Africa... Is it going to be stupid?
Oh, Mike. Probably, but...
What? This game came out of Japan, right? Do we know what it is yet?
Yeah, no, it's Pokemon Snap, but with the African Serengeti.
Just think how much more exciting the game would be if you had some sort of a weapon.
You could do ride around shooting down like
just,
zebras.
Just anything. Like, give me a baseball bat, you know? Just something to poke them with.
And then I told you they were remaking Jumbo Safari for the Wii, and you scoffed. That's what that game's going to be.
Well, that's a different thing. A game that's just an arcade game, but this is like, it's huge. You go across the entire savanna, and here's a slingshot. Piss the animals off.
A slingshot?
It doesn't need to be lethal. I just want to... I literally just kind of want to agitate them.
So you want it like Dead Rising, where you get action shots and stuff like that, and erotic
right,
zebra
exactly.
shots?
Even at Pokemon Snap, you had like that Pokemon food to throw so that they could eat it, but you spent most of the time throwing it at their faces and pissing them off.
I actually forgot about that
That's
part.
True,
I haven't
huh?
played that game in a while.
Right?
Right.
Oh, like some sort of like electrical like prod, that would be great.
Then a lion will eat your face off.
But it'll be a character, so like what do I care? I mean, you know, I'm dead.
No,
continue.
Actually, the power of the PlayStation 3 will put a lion in your living room that will then eat your face off.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
A lion will come and eat me.
They're using 3 of the cell processors to do
oh,
that.
Oh, God.
To replicate a whole lion in
That's your
living room.
That's what the cell means. They're making cells.
Yeah.
They're making matter out of nothing. That's why it was $600. Now, the new PS3s don't have this feature anymore. There's no cell production.
Right. They had to take that out.
They had to take it out.
But if you have a 60-gigabyte launch unit, be careful when you play Africa.
Right.
So what do they do instead, then?
I think it's just the controller rumbles. It's a last-gen feature. Okay, let's move on.
Enough. So who's going to get Africa?
I'll rent it, maybe, just to see what it looks like.
It still looks spectacular. I mean, I remember it looked pretty good when they showed it off back in 2006. I don't know. Who made it, anyways? Was this some company well-known, or?
Someone. I think it's a Sony internal thing, but I could be wrong.
All right. Continue.
So Kojima is, once again, teasing everybody with countdowns leading to countdowns, which this whole thing needs to stop. Just announce shit. Who cares? But what we've seen of the countdowns, we've seen Big Boss and Raiden, and there are also some Famitsu scans. Yeah, so people don't know if this is going to be like something that jumps back and forth between two time periods or what.
So what, are you saying it's pretty much going to be a Metal Gear thing, you think?
Yeah.
But I heard a lot of people saying that they think that this is some sort of other project that they actually kind of already announced. I forget what it's called.
Well, the end of the countdown, because people looked at the JavaScript. Shoot, now I'm hoping I don't have this wrong because I heard this, I forget where. I think the countdown ends at Microsoft's press conference.
Okay. But yeah, it's just like, I thought he said he wasn't doing Metal Gear anymore.
He said that after every one of them.
Yeah, but he seemed so adamant this time.
He seemed adamant the last two times.
I don't know. I'm still not expecting Metal Gear for some reason.
When the Konami office is knocking on your door and have a big check, like one of those ones you get for winning Publishers Clearinghouse,
and
the amount line is blank, and it says memo for new Metal Gear game.
Do they really need Kojima to make another Metal Gear, really? I think they could let Kojima make some new game, which will probably make money, not as much as a Metal Gear, but it'll make money, and just let anyone else go make Metal Gear whatever, and you'll make money from that too.
Well, I didn't say it was smart.
I don't know.
You what's probably
I don't know. I think that they're doing a lot of this Metal Gear stuff to tease us and throw us off. What I think. I don't know.
Okay. And lastly, just to piss you off, Guitar Hero 5 has been dated for September 1st,
so,
8 days before Beatles Rock Band.
So this is Metal. Is this called Guitar Hero 5?
Yeah, they're just going with the number.
I like that. See, I like numbers. I hate all these weird things. Let's drop the title here and there and, Guitar Hero 5. Not World Tour 2, not Guitar Hero High Voltage,
No, someone heard that. Now we're going to get Guitar Hero High Voltage for the DS or something.
Yeah. So this works for me. I don't know. Okay, that's all you guys. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up, Pete?
I was just going to say, on a Guitar Hero night, they've released Stan Bush's The Touch on Guitar Hero World Tour now, which everyone was very excited
about.
Yeah,
that is true.
Ooh, I want to try that.
You
got the touch.
Lovely.
You got the power.
Okay,
that's
moving on.
Lovely.
So reminder to everyone that E3 is next week, so expect the news section to take up a good chunk of the show next
week.
Woo! Do you think we should do mini-episodes throughout E3?
Maybe. Practically we might be busy. We'll see.
What are we doing?
I was going to play Infamous. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what we're doing.
There might be updates. Check Twitter.
I'm a big E3 guy. I'm hoping that this is going to be more like the E3 of old. I'm a little worried about other people pulling out of E3. But I don't know. I'm so excited.
It's all the Japanese companies afraid of the
slime flu. I'm excited because, this Kojima thing should be exciting, whatever it is. Nintendo's got to have something.
Right. They need some kind of Megaton.
Sony's going to be having a lot of hilarious Hail Marys, basically.
Well, supposedly Mag will be playable at E3 next week.
Screw Mag. I don't care about Mag.
I'm sure we'll see some God of War stuff.
But what there's going to be I don't care about games already announced. I want announcements of huge new games.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That's what I want.
We'll see if they announce the PS3 Slim.
People are apparently saying now that actually is real, but it may not. It's probably not going to be announced at E3.
Right. Once the Taiwanese shadow lawyer corporation started sending cease and desist, it gave it all some credence. They probably should have just let it go.
That's just weird. Okay, all right, let's get to the game of the year, 2001.
Let's hit the list.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right, so first off, we got a favorite of mine, Anachronox.
Great game.
Which was still using the Quake 2 engine at this point.
For a Eastern style role-playing game.
It looked good, though.
It looked great. It was hilarious. It was very well written.
It was half adventure game, half RPG, and really... the RPG stuff was fun. It was basically a Final Fantasy kind of knockoff, but the adventure gaming stuff was great, and there was a lot of it.
Mm.
I always said that I want to do this. I'm hoping that this will show up on Good Old Games sometimes. We can do a squad mission out of it. That was a great game. Bejeweled actually came out for the first time in 2001. How about that? PopCap Games, Bejeweled. So, you know, we got all that. All right, so the Game Boy Advance launched this year, and I think everyone remembers the best launch title for that one was probably Castlevania Circle of the Moon. Because at this time, like, people were begging for another game that was like Symphony of the Night. And here it was, finally.
Castlevania Circle of the Moon, or as it was known in Europe, Castlevania.
All right, Pete, don't be giving away the quiz questions now.
Oh.
Yes!
Anyways, Dark Age of Camelot came out.
It's still a pretty good MMORPG, I gotta say.
Right, now these guys, they also made Warhammer, right?
Right.
Online. And so these guys are good. And Dark Age of Camelot, for its time, was just a really good... I thought it was the best MMORPG until WoW came out, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The first Devil May Cry came out. I didn't play this series up until 3. Did you play the first one, Pete?
I played the first one when it was out.
I played the first one, yeah.
Well, like, what was this like 3, or was it different in some way?
Well, I'm actually the other way around. I haven't played one since number 1. I remember finding one incredibly difficult and getting quite turned off by it. So, it was good. It was very stylish. I think when it came out, a lot of people were expecting something a bit more Resident Evil-y. And not quite so action-y. But yeah, it was a good game, and it was really stylish, but I just found it incredibly frustrating, because it was so difficult. I know Beige will be wringing his hands over that, but yeah, that's what I thought.
I think I heard somewhere that at one point the game was going to be a Resident Evil game.
You can see elements. Things like the design, and even like the font and stuff like that are very Resident Evil-ish, but yeah, they went the other direction.
Right, I think at some point they just decided that it's just too different, and it was going to be its own thing.
Well, it's the guy who made this is the one who's making Bayonetta right now, right?
I think so. They look similar enough. Isn't it weird, though? I'll never forget how this game was so beloved, and the sequel just got crapped on. It was interesting. Then 3 kind of came back. And then 4, I don't know, indifference, I guess what you could kind of say. All right. Fatal Frame came out. Who played this? No one?
Once again, Beige is freaking the fuck out.
I have played it. I didn't play it at the time it came out, but I have played it.
Is this the game with the lesbians?
No, that's Fear Factor.
Yeah.
Fear Effect.
I've also played. You know, Fatal Frame is really good. And that was a squad mission a long time ago, a very early squad mission.
Oh, see, pre-Tolkoto.
Yeah. It's worth revisiting. It still holds up really well today.
Well, isn't this the one that's getting remade for the Wii, but Nintendo, like, refuses to publish it outside of Japan?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, Fatal Frame, with the camera and stuff.
Yeah.
See, I always get it mixed up with Fear Effect. I don't know why.
I don't either. They're not remotely similar.
Beige is going to want to murder me.
Just as long as you realize that.
Oh, boy. Okay. It's one of my favorite games from this year, Final Fantasy X. And I think we can all talk about Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
Game that gave the Final Fantasy series voice. Interesting side note. We saw James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Tidus, last week.
Yeah, we did.
At the Disney Hollywood Studios. We didn't get to, like, meet him. He was just kind of doing a talk show thing. But
It was hilarious, because at one point, they were him and some girl who was the voice of one of the characters from Clone Wars were doing a thing where they were adding voice to... They were, like, doing a live recording, basically, for a scene from Clone Wars. So they were doing the voices live. But then he said, you know, I'm also the voice of Fred Flintstone right now. So why don't we redo that? And this time I'll use Fred Flintstone's voice. It's like Obi-Wan comes crashing through a roof and he's like, yabba dabba doo. It was hilarious. But when he just talked like his normal voice, it just sounded like Tidus. So it was like really weird. It was just crazy. No, Final Fantasy X was just great. I mean, it's just a refreshing change in the battle. Not so much, like, the battle system's changes was cool. I liked how you could, like, really, like, use all of the characters. You can just switch out without any penalization.
Yeah, that was cool.
I love the spear grid, and I really loved how they got rid of the world map. And it was never, like, a conscious thing with me, like, oh, I hate the world map, let's change it. But, you know, they changed...
Well, the thing was, I mean, every Final Fantasy game has the world map, and it gives you this impression, like, it's this big open world, and blah, blah, blah. But if you have to follow the linear progression, or else nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's an illusion of freedom, and so they just got rid of the illusion.
And it also used to bug me a bit that the scale on the world map was always way off. Like, Final Fantasy VIII, it's most noticeable, where you've got Squall running around as sort of a normal-sized person with these tiny little roads and villages and things, and it just looks ridiculous. So,
yeah, exactly.
I was glad they got rid of it.
But, you know, whenever a game is more linear, usually the story is better.
Yeah.
And voice, some of the miscues in the voice acting aside, this was a very well-told story for Final Fantasy. Yeah, yeah. The laughing scene, the whistling scene, yeah. Basically a lot of things with Yuna.
And also, I will say, I was disappointed by the final boss encounters.
Yes. Yes, they were pretty poor.
Fighting Jack, it was okay, except the music was absolute shit. And then the whole thing with you, Yevon, was just dumb. And
yeah, it was a little dumb. It did.
On a side note, have you heard the Black Mage's version of that final boss music?
No,
it's really good, because the Final Fantasy X version is just some guy going over the top, but the Black Mage's version, they get a girl to sing it, and it's actually quite a cool piece of music.
Hmm.
It's worth a listen.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it is. I remember that was a tough one for me, too. Actually, after a while, all those final boss fights are pretty hard. But Final Fantasy X, I think a lot of people, it's their favorite installment in the series, and it's one of mine. I think at one point I did say it was my favorite. Whichever one's my favorite, it's always changing. So we kind of brought up Grand Theft Auto earlier. Grand Theft Auto 3 came out this year. And we can give the series as much shit as possible, but Grand Theft Auto 3 was just an absolutely huge deal.
It was important. It was kind of the first attempt at the open world sandbox game.
I mean, just something in 3D. It started a genre. It really did.
Yes.
I mean, in Infamous, it's you know, despite being completely different, it's basically in this genre.
Right.
And I mean, it was fun at the time, you know?
It's just, it was always the case, even with that one. I started playing the missions, and about after half an hour, I was just like, I just want to fuck around in the world.
Underpants mayhem.
Yeah. But, like I said, hugely important. All right, then, actually, although we didn't get this game until much later, and 2001 for the Game Boy Advance, a little game came out that we know as Phoenix Wright.
Phenomenal game.
Oh, God. Yes. Pete, why don't you go ahead?
I love
Phoenix
Wright.
You're as biggest fan as anyone.
I love it a great deal. I heard nothing about it until the DS version, and I came to the DS version quite late, if anything. And I remember buying a DS on pretty much on a whim, and I thought, I'm going to buy a game that's a bit weird with it as well. And I saw this game based around a lawyer on the shelf, and I thought, I'll give that a go. It sounds interesting. And, yeah, I couldn't put it down after I started playing it. It was amazing. It's ridiculous when you try and explain it to someone, but the story's so well written, the characters are so well defined, and it's so simple. It's static images with barely animated characters on top of it, but somehow it manages to tell a better story than most of the games out there.
Right, and like even though it really is silly at times, but you know they're still dealing with things like murder and all stuff, and it can get very tense. And they're just brilliant games. I just love them, all of them.
Killer soundtrack as well.
Oh God, yes. Oh, what my favorite is I always forget what it's called, but it's like Confession or something. It's like the one when like there's like the song when you like kind of trap someone, but there's the one where like basically you have the case defining moment, and the person just starts freaking out. It's like da 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 da. Oh, gives me goosebumps.
Phoenix soundtrack's great fun to play through in audio surf as well.
Oh, I bet. I remember one time you linked like the somebody did like the remix thing of it, and I listened to their music versions of it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so good. All right, but let's move on. Here's another big game of the year. There's a lot of really important games that came out this year. Mm-hmm. Halo came out.
See, I love Halo. The original Halo is to me still really good.
See, I just never got on into it. I don't get mad about it. Like, some people that get really mad about Halo. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't like Halo, and they hate the fact that Halo's popular, and they're really bitter about it. I understand that Halo's very important. Because before then, console first-person shooters weren't all that great. I know people liked Perfect Dark, and GoldenEye, I hated them. But very important.
I mean,
but
the fact of the matter is, every console shooter that's come out since then is basically using Halo's control scheme.
Right. Yeah. And hey, even Halo 3 pretty much plays just like Halo.
Yeah.
Right?
Halo 1 is the only game in that series that I finished, and the sole reason for that is I had someone to play co-op with all the way through. We played split-screen co-op from start to finish, and it was a brilliant experience. But none of the others I felt inspired to play through, just because it didn't interest me enough as a single player. But playing it with a buddy was really good fun.
And that whole co-op thing, I mean, games still, it's like almost so many games feel like they have to have co-op now in a first-person shooter.
Right.
And the multiplayer in this game, even pre-Xbox Live, like LAN parties. Everyone was doing LAN parties.
Oh, it was great. It was my sophomore year of college when there were four guys on my floor who had Xboxes, and we had a big common room. So we would take TVs, Xboxes. Someone had a router we used. We played 16-player games of Halo and, like, 8-on-8 capture the flag and everything. It was awesome.
And just even smaller conventions that the game started, like, the regenerating health, the whole kind of two-weapon system, you know, that you constantly switch back and forth between, you know.
And I really like the Halo soundtrack a lot, too.
It has a good soundtrack.
I think it's a phenomenal soundtrack. And the last mission in that game, which they kind of reprised in Halo 3, was awesome.
And it's a very pretty thing. Isn't it funny, though, this was supposed to be such, like, a big PC game at the time.
It was supposed to be a Mac
game. Yeah.
Oh, but,
it's like the ultimate fuck you to all Mac fans. Microsoft bought these guys, and they're going to put on their new gaming console.
I have a good Halo multiplayer story, actually. Me and my friends were big into playing multiplayer, and a bunch of them came to visit me one time and brought their Xbox and their TV and Halo with them so we could do some System Link gameplay. And for some reason, I cannot remember what, I think drink was involved, we all decided to take our shirts off while we were playing it.
wait.
What? Bunch of shirtless guys playing Halo.
And about partway into the evening, my female housemate came home to find eight sweaty, topless men in her living room playing what she called Galo.
Oh, I'm glad someone else coined the phrase Galo.
Oh my god, that's very special.
That's hilarious. Oh my god, let's just end it with that. I think I was going to say something else. Let's just end it with that. All right. So ICO came out.
I think it's ECO.
ICO came out. Whatever. People were calling it ICO. Now,
I do feel bad because not really realizing the importance of this game at this time. I rented it and played it and was utterly confused by it, and I think just kind of wrote it off without really getting too into it.
Yeah.
And of course now it's like impossible to find a copy of it, and I still haven't played it in any great detail. But I want to.
I have always personally preferred Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I always got that sense too, but I just feel like I need to play this.
It was
cool because, like, at this time, it seemed like everyone was so concerned about being bigger and better, you know. And here's a game that kind of was very small and very intimate, you know.
Pete, have you played this?
I have, yeah. I had a similar experience to you, where I picked it up when it came out, played it a bit, ended up trading it in, and then a little while later realized that I shouldn't have done that because it was impossible to find anyway. But actually, about 6 months back, I managed to find a used copy in our local used games emporium for about £5. So I picked it up, and I still haven't got around to playing it through yet, but it's on my shelf ready to play now. So,
right. Yeah. This is an instance of a game that has beautiful artwork in Europe, and the U.S. artwork is just absolute shit.
Oh, the cover art, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember being struck with the animation in it. The animation in it is pretty stunning.
And it's always been... People will always point this as an example of a game that has such a strong emotional sense about it, but there's, like, very little to no dialogue. There's no, like, narrator beating things down your neck. There's no cutscenes. It's all organic. And, you know, you get that same sense from Shadow of the Colossus and hopefully in Trico, which we still need to see that trailer.
Yeah, see, that's what I
keep forgetting to download
Trico,
it out of our home.
See, E3, I can't wait for information on the new
game. Yeah, but, I mean, like... People will say, like, these guys, they're a studio that takes you, like they treat you like you're intelligent as a gamer.
Exactly.
They don't beat you over the head with stuff. There's no tutorial where it's like, watch us as we show your character jumping. Now push the X button to jump. Do it 3 more times. And, you know, it's like, they make the game, you play it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I would personally be okay if there was no more tutorials ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I can figure things out. If you want to do an optional tutorial, I could go to the start menu and pick a thing called tutorial. That's fine, but I just can't deal with them anymore. Okay, let's move on. Max Payne.
The game that gave us bullet time.
Yes, back when bullet time was cool. When this game came out, I remember just having a blast playing it. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Max Payne was so hard. And, you know, now this kind of character archetype has been done to death.
Well, it's a cliche now to the point of parody and comedy. But
right.
Back then, yeah, it was some hardcore shit.
It was cool. How about this? Metal Gear Solid 2. And before maybe only Halo 2 and Halo 3, was there a game that was more hyped before release than Metal Gear Solid 2 was?
Mm.
kind of because we didn't really know what it was going to be.
Right.
But, man, there was just so much anticipation in the air when the demo came out with Zone of the Enders. It was just like, oh, my God, you got to go play the demo.
It's just – it's hard to not look on this game from this point in time without being a little disappointed in it,
I think. Crazy as hell.
Well, not only is the plot absolutely ridiculous, but it's just – when you think back to the time, how excited you were to get back in the shoes of Solid Snake. And you played that demo in the tanker. It was so perfect. And then – you know, you're going through these interesting environments. You're able to shoot everything off the shelves. It's all super interactive. There's Snake. He's being a badass. And then you're riding.
In the big shell, which was a very sterile environment.
It was a sterile environment. He was a terrible character in that story. I think they kind of fixed him in 4. Well, he was just this whiny little bitch who, like, couldn't comprehend anything going on around him at all.
Just seemed incompetent. Metal Gear Solid 4 is basically made to explain the story of this and to make Raiden not as gay anymore. still at the time, it was a very good-looking game. It was fun to play.
Yeah, the gameplay is solid.
I think it was the first time we had, like, the first person, like, shooting available in the game, which helped. Because, well, the game kind of turned into get your trank gun out and get headshots on everyone to make them fall asleep.
Right.
But it was pretty, I mean, maybe not what people expected, but it was important. So there it is. So here's one of your favorite games ever.
Yay.
I know, Myst 3 Exile.
I love this game so much. It stars Brad Dourif, and he's awesome.
He's the bad guy, right?
Yeah. He also played Grima Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, and Billy Bitit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ooh, and he was a character in Voyager for a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, this game was just cool because it took the Myst formula, and it added that whole being able to look around 360 degrees from all the nodes. And it was so pretty.
It was a very good looking game.
It looked so nice. And just, I mean, I'm one of those guys, I've said this before, where I'm very able to allow myself to become immersed in a game where I'm, like, playing the character. And this game, oh, God, it was just like, I totally bought into, yes, this is actually me. I'm not playing anybody but me in these situations. I had notes. I knew part of the Dene language at this point. I was actually using stuff I learned in my physics class in high school to solve some of the puzzles, which probably made them harder than they really were, but whatever, it worked. Oh, just everything about this game I freaking loved. It was so good. And the soundtrack by Jack Wall is phenomenal. So good.
Yeah, I remember you enjoyed this game quite a bit. And it was very pretty. I remember I tried playing it. I just can't. I can't do Myst. It's just beyond me. I'm just not good enough. I just can't handle it. I remember I tried it, and there was, like, some bunny, and I was on some island.
It was a screet.
God, you're gay. Okay. Moving on. Peakman came out, which was cool. I never got too into it. I heard that the new Play Control is really neat.
It is. I played it at a Best Buy kiosk.
I'm waiting for Peakman 2 new Play Control.
Yeah.
But it was a Shigeru Miyamoto game, you know, big deal at the time. Rez came out. How about that?
Yeah, ooh, sweet.
Rez is good.
Rez was fine. I mean, I loved playing through. I finally got to really play through it when it got re-released on Xbox Live. Great game.
That was another one. We rented it when it came out. We were like, oh, it's kind of like Panzer Dragon. And then we just returned it and never thought of it again.
Now, here's a game Pete, I think, can talk about. Silent Hill 2.
Ah, yes. Yeah, Silent Hill 2 came out, and the first time I played it, I didn't have my own copy of it. The same friends that I played Gale with came down and brought a copy of Silent Hill 2 with them. And, again, drinking had been involved, and I sat and played it, and they fell asleep in my living room. And they just woke up at like some hideously inappropriate moment while Pyramid Head was doing something horrendous to something else. And they just woke up and go, oh my God, what the fuck's that?
But we have a whole squad cast on this show that I think people should listen to if they haven't yet.
Definitely.
You know, it was a really interesting game. It was an interesting experience for me to play it as a squad mission because, like, I had not played really very many of the old school survival horror games. Mm. And this was a really interesting one to play through.
Mm. It is really a bit cool. Broken as a game, but I think the story is still one of the best examples of storytelling in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an intelligent, thought-provoking story that deals with some issues that you don't see dealt with very often.
Right.
So I was really impressed with that at the time, and I still am now. So,
mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. The first Sonic Advance came out, and although the series kind of evolved into like what Sonic Rush is right now, where you're basically holding down right the whole time, just kind of running through worlds way too fast. The first Sonic Advance was really a very faithful kind of 2D Sonic game, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you said, it did play into that thing where when people talk about Sonic on the Genesis, they're like, oh, you just ran right, when you really didn't. But like you said, as these games went, they kind of played into that old belief. But which one was it? It wasn't the first Advance. I think it was the third one where you could have, like, you could make the character pairings.
Yeah.
It was actually really good.
Mm-hmm. So, but this was a fun series at the time. Some of the better Sonic stuff that was happening.
Yeah.
It kind of had an interesting art style. It was cool. Like, Sonic Adventure 2 came out the same year. I didn't really put it on the list, but...
Yeah,
it
should.
Well, that was... What?
It should be. We should mention it.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like...
Knuckles and Tails, stupid, shitty adventure.
Yeah, as Panyard Gay said.
You're going to kill me, but I actually quite enjoyed Sonic Adventure 2.
Well, I did at the time, too, because I was still a big fanboy, and I wasn't really turned off of the series until Sonic Heroes.
Hmm.
It's always that case where in every Sonic game ever, I always really enjoy the good stuff, and I hate the bad stuff.
Yeah. Right.
No, the shooting levels were shit.
Yeah.
They're so long. That was my thing.
Yeah, like they were like 15 minutes long.
Like the Sonic and Shadow levels were so short, and those Robotnik and Tails levels took forever. But the Sonic and Shadow levels were so good.
Hmm.
So much fun to play through.
I enjoyed the music in that game as well, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Come with me. Dun, dun, dun.
Not even close.
And we'll escape from the city.
That was close.
City escape. Good stuff. Okay.
Oh, everyone now, duck and cover.
Now one of my favorite games, Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Which the only reason you don't play it anymore is because Brawl came out.
Right.
Which I have to say, I don't see you guys playing Brawl nearly as much.
I liked Melee better. I'll say it right now. Because Melee was... It had more interesting things you can do. And like, you know, some of it were things that were broken with the game, like L-canceling and wave dashing, but it was just a lot of fun, especially when you figure out what characters were, like, the balanced ones and which ones were just crap you can't use. You turn all those items off. It had a great soundtrack. I just love crossovers.
See, that's always been my thing in the series. It's so unbalanced, and I don't see why it's so hard to balance it.
Right, I understand. But when you figure out, like, those top-tier characters and you can play as, and this was the only time I ever went to tournaments for a game and played and had fun with that. It's very competitive. It's a great game. It's fun because we don't get that many unconventional fighting games over here in the West. Usually they stay out in Japan. Yeah. But, we got this one, and it's just a lot of fun to play. And the presentation on this one was so good, especially for the GameCube. It was so good. I mean, I remember when this finally came out, I think it was December 5th or something, 2001. Because, like, the launch titles were okay, but this was like... You know, it's kind of weird. This game came out that first year for the GameCube, and I think it stayed in my GameCube throughout its entire life.
Pretty much.
Right. Like, you know, occasionally you had Metroid Prime or Zelda or Mario, but it was usually always Smash Bros. Melee. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, which was one of my favorites in the series, actually, because, you know, this was the first PS2 one. It actually had an online support. I thought some of the levels were really cool. They were a bit bigger, but there's fun things to do. I think Darth Maul was a hidden character, which was kind of awesome. Cool. We also met Darth Maul, by the way. We met Ray Park.
Yeah, nice.
Yes.
We didn't meet him as much.
Okay, we saw him. We saw him come out with
met Warwick Davis.
He came out with the red lightsaber and was doing tricks. It was awesome. But I liked Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. And last on my list is Tribes 2.
Phenomenal game.
Very ambitious.
I love Tribes.
Very, very ambitious multiplayer game. Last Tribes game I played, and it was just a lot of fun. P, is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I've got a few. There's Frequency.
Oh, I missed Frequency. Shame on me.
I love Frequency.
Yeah.
Amplitude's better. But
yes, Amplitude is better, but Frequency is sort of the first one in that genre that Harmonix did. It was a really interesting game, I thought, sort of combining multi-tracking music with rhythm game stuff. And, yeah, I remember spending a lot of time playing that game. So that's a good one. What else? Baldur's Gate 2 Throne of Baal came out.
Ah, the expansion pack to the 2000 Game of the Year by the Exploding Barrel. What are you laughing at?
The look on your face just now, you're like, ugh.
I'm fine.
Nice. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance as well on Xbox and various other things. That was action RPG one on the consoles.
Which
I thought was actually a surprisingly good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, much better in co-op. It's another game I didn't play single player at all. I played it all the way through with a friend, and we had a great time playing it. else? SSX Tricky came out that year.
Right. Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah, that was good fun. That was the first snowboarding game I played since 1080 Snowboarding on the N64.
Yeah, 1080 Snowboarding. So good.
Dead or Alive 3 apparently came out that year.
Meh. I can always take or leave that series.
Yeah. I've enjoyed Dead or Alive for quite a long time, and not just for tits, but...
I was about to say, it was really, yeah. But you're right.
I don't know. I quite like things like the countering system and stuff, but I think Dead or Alive 3 was not the best in the series. I think Dead or Alive 2 was still the best one for me.
See, I always go for the flashier fighting games. I like don't take Dead or Alive or Virtual Fighter, Tekken, but it's like Marvel's Capcom 2, and you can like shoot 100 things out of your arms and stuff, and I'm always crazier with my things.
Yeah. And I've got one in honor of Sword Guy here. I've got Shin Megami Tensei Devil Children White Book.
And what was this for?
This is for Game Boy Color. And it's a Pokemon ripoff, basically.
He showed us one game that was for the Game Boy Color or Game Boy or something that was like a Pokemon ripoff before.
Yeah, this one was actually the third one in the series. There was Black and Red that came out a little bit earlier, I think. And then White came out this year, and you play a devil child, basically, hence the name. And you collect monsters just like in Pokemon. And just from reading the description, it sounds and looks very much like Pokemon, but with more penis monsters. So that's that. The other thing, I'm not sure if this was the North American date or not, but I read something about Phantasy Star Online as well. That might just be the North American date it came out there.
See, I thought it was last year, and when I sent my email to them for last year's, I included that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
we could talk about it. I like that game a lot.
I loved Phantasy Star Online. They kind of just glanced over it themselves because they're lame.
Specifically, I love the first one.
Yeah.
Because there was no online fee. It was there. It worked. It was fun. Then they started mucking with it.
Yeah.
It was very simple. It was very Diablo-like.
Yeah,
that's all it needed to be, though.
Right, and it was a lot of fun. And it was, find four people and go out and do things. It was good times.
Yeah, it was really good. And it worked really well on Dreamcast as well. Just a 33.6 modem, I never had any connection issues at all.
Yeah, me neither now I think about it.
Oh, God, but remember if, you lost your connection, it, basically, erased everything?
Yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah.
Nightmares.
Well, anything else, Pete?
Conker's Bad Fur Day as well.
Ugh, I passed over that one on purpose, but go ahead.
You're not a fan?
Not a fan. I don't know. It plays like a Rare game, but with this weird adult humor that is just kind of creepy to me. I don't know. It scared me as a kid.
See, I enjoyed it because I didn't feel it. It felt like a Rare game. Like there was very little in the way of collecting shit. The only thing you had to collect was health, and there was a thing to collect when you completed the level. It was like a star in Mario, but there wasn't the ridiculous level of collecting that you had in the Banjo games and so on.
I remember the Pooh Monster was a lot of fun, though.
Yes, a lot of fun. And that still makes regular rotations on my MP3 player. I just remember it being an interesting game that was genuinely funny. I mean, it might be a British thing with the humor, I think. It might have been more funny to us because it was very English in its humor.
Yeah, I suppose so. Something about it for me just turned me off. I know it's hard to explain.
Part of it was that wasn't there before this? There was that cutesy Conker game for the Game Boy,
right?
Well, of a sudden now Conker's on a hangover bender, and then there's a giant poo monster.
It got strange.
Yeah,
because remember he was in Diddy Kong Racing. You click on him, he's like, "I'm Conker."
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it was weird. Why don't we go to Sword Guy's list, which is surprisingly short from him which is strange. But he has the Adventures of Cookie and Cream. I remember this. It was a PS2 platformer where basically the kind of hook was that you control two characters at once with the different analog sticks.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you remember this. I don't know if we have time to watch the YouTube video right now.
I was just going to let it fire up. Well, I just want to see. Yeah, this is exactly what I thought it was.
Right.
This was a cool game.
It was fun.
It was an interesting experiment in dual analog sticks.
Mm-hmm. It was, back when that was still kind of an interesting new thing. He also had Cosmic Smash. It was like a weird squash game with music. It's very strange. I got nothing else to say about it. It's strange. Konami Crazy Racers for the Game Boy Advance.
Basically, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Mario Kart clone, but it's actually pretty good, and you can play as a cyborg ninja, which is interesting. Kuru. I missed this somehow when I was looking through everything.
Is that the one with the stick?
Yeah, it's apparently an assist trophy in Smash Brothers.
What is this now?
You're a stick.
Oh, that thing. Okay, well, there that is. And then he brought up this this game called Sega Gaga. Have any of you guys played, know about this or anything?
I vaguely recall. I think it's like you're like a kid's running Sega or something.
Right, you're running Sega. It's like a Sega sim. The game, from what I read, the things he sent me, the game is amazing looking. It's just hilarious. You have to make games. There's all these parody games and stuff, like games that basically look like a Metal Gear or anything like that. It just looks, it's hilarious looking. I'm very disappointed we never got it over here. Hmm. I love the story though that Sega is in shambles and that they have to get kids off the street to help rebuild it. Hilarious.
Might not be any bad idea.
Seriously. Yeah.
Wasn't it 2 years after this that Sega dropped out of the hardware business?
Yeah. But then his other games that I wanted to mention were Animal Crossing.
Oh.
Capcom vs. SNK2, which was always much more technical than my versus games that I liked. Devil May Cry, Diablo 2, Lord of Destruction.
Now, why didn't you put that
in? It's an expansion pack.
But it's everything that an expansion pack should be.
Oh, well, yeah, it was. It was fun. Okay. Fear Effect 2, that's the lesbian game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Final Fantasy X, Guitaro Man, which I never played, but I always heard was good. Golden Sun, which everyone likes, but I never played.
It was good. It was one of the games that was lost in my great Game Boy fiasco of 02. Mm-hmm.
But, it's good.
Phenomenal RPG, I thought.
It's good, but annoyingly unfinished. Like, it's a two-part game, because they did Golden Sun, the Lost Age, after it. And you get to the end of Golden Sun, and there's just no ending. And it just stops. And the annoying thing was, in order to transfer your characters from Golden Sun 1 to Golden Sun 2, you needed two Game Boys. Or you had to type in a 52-digit password.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah.
Phoenix Wright, which we brought up. Halo, Ico, Ikaruga.
You mean to put Ikaruga down?
I missed it. What do you want me to do? The best black, white, crazy shmup there is, okay?
It is good.
Klonoa 2, which I actually played through, and that's a fantastic game. Loved it. Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons came out, apparently. Which I never liked as much as the other Game Boy Zelda games.
They were competent.
They were no Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion, which...
I'm still waiting for that to get a remake.
Yeah, because I thought it was very short, but I thought it was a lot of fun, actually. Metal Gear Solid 2, Pikmin, Rez, Shenmue 2. Yeah. I didn't play Shenmue 2. I enjoyed
Shenmue 2.
Yeah, I remember you said... Was it you? We brought up Shenmue 1. Yeah.
I enjoyed them both, actually. A lot more than everyone else in the world did, apparently. But Shenmue 2 was much better than Shenmue 1 in that it had more places to visit. It had a lot more to do. It had less in the way of that really anal, you can look in every single cupboard and see how many white t-shirts he's got in there. But it had a lot more in the way of plot. It had some really good quick time events. And, it was a lot more exciting. But, again, remained irritatingly unfinished.
Are you still waiting for Shenmue 3, Pete?
Yep, I'm still waiting.
It wasn't supposed to be like an 8-game series or something.
Yeah.
Shocker, that didn't work out.
That's never a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, this is human. This was particularly annoying because you get right to the end. And the last disc is really nicely handled because the last disc is pretty much just you and this girl walking through this forest and having a conversation. And it's a really nicely directed scene, quite movie-like. And you're not interacting that much, but it's a really nice scene. And you get to the end of this scene and it just starts to get really interesting and exciting, and it stops. And, yeah, that was incredibly frustrating, and there's been nothing ever since.
That's right, though. This game actually did come out for the Dreamcast in Europe.
Yeah.
We had to wait for the Xbox version.
Oh, yeah. You guys got it subtitled, though. They didn't dub it.
Yeah, that's right. And it was much better in the Japanese.
Yeah, it probably is better for that, because the voice acting, as I recall from the first one, was nothing that great.
It was terrible. Yeah. But the... I remember wishing that the original one had been in Japanese and subtitles, just because the voice acting was so much better in Shenmue 2.
And then he also has Silent Hill 2, Sonic Advance, Smash Brothers Melee, Twisted Metal Black, which was good. Mm-hmm. It was very dark for even Twisted Metal. Something called Uplink. Does anyone know what Uplink is?
Oh, it's yes, probably know it better than I do, God.
This is a it's a game by Introversion Software, by the guys who did Defcon and Darwinia. I think it was their first game, in fact. And it's if you remember the Commodore 64 Squadcast we did a while back, it's inspired by the old game Hacker.
And
it's
okay.
It's just a game where it's very minimalist. There's very little in the way of graphics and so on. Your computer screen that you're actually sitting in front of becomes your in-game computer screen, and you're hacking into machines and you're doing all sorts of things and hacking into bank accounts and stealing money and stuff. But they got the whole hacking thing absolutely perfect. You were doing the kinds of things that you saw in movies, like you were using your computer to phone up someone's voicemail, record their voice, turn it into a voice print analysis that you could then use to unlock their bank account and stuff like that. And it was just so good.
Yeah, it wasn't like realistic, but it was, it's like the hacking in movies where they somehow just guess passwords and get them right and
that's
shit like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good game, and it's available on Steam for about $5 now, so worth a look.
Yeah, cool. Then he also had Wario Land 4. Then he says specifically Final Fantasy X was one of his favorite games in the series. His only problem with it was not that it was linear, but it was practically on rails kind of a thing. And I kind of see what he's talking
about.
Doesn't
bother me.
Go on to Twitter real quick. See if anyone responded, because I asked for things. I asked for it kind of late. If anyone said anything to Exploding Barrel.
Anyone who replied was Beige. You said pretty much everything we mentioned, apart from Advanced Wars and Serious Sam.
Huh. Oh, Serious Sam is good.
Right.
And Advanced Wars is really good.
Yeah, they are. Seems like Ico, or Ico, whatever. Apparently I mispronounce it every time.
Yeah, he put a bunch of asterisks around that one.
All right. Okay, guys. This will be kind of tough. What do you? Anybody have anything they're thinking about specifically?
You're going to be mad.
Wait, what?
I feel like, for me, my gut is saying it should be Halo.
What do you think, Pete?
I can see your point. And I did have a lot of fun with Halo. I mean, I've not got much time for the series these days, but I had a lot of fun with the original Halo.
As was pointed out last time, we have a lot of FPSs on this list.
Mm, it's true.
And
yeah, but this is the first console FPS.
Yeah, well, whatever. I guess so. Well, I guess we only have two when I look at it
now. Yeah, just Half-Life and Counter-Strike.
I mean, there's a lot of games in here, this list, honestly, that are really important.
I feel like if we all played Eco more thoroughly, we'd all have a much bigger heart-on for
it. I love Final Fantasy X, personally. That's, like, for me, that's my favorite game on this list. Like, I know for you, AJ, yours is probably Myst 3, if you could pick, or Smash Bros. Melee for me. I mean, the most important games are Grand Theft Auto 3 and Halo, really. But I guess Halo really is the smart choice this year. It's hard to go against it. What do you agree, Pete?
I agree. Reluctantly, but
reluctantly.
All right, so a very enthusiastic thumbs up to Halo.
Yeah, next year there will be something awesome we can pick.
So, to recap, that means 86 Zelda, 87 Metal Gear, 88 Mega Man 2, 89 SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 Star Control 2, 93 is Myst, 94 is Final Fantasy 6, 95 Warcraft 2, 96 Mario 64, 97 Curse Monkey Island, 98 Half-Life, 99 Counter-Strike, 2000 Baldur's Gate 2, and 2001 is Halo.
It is awesome that we got Curse Monkey Island on there.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
That is sweet.
All right, public humiliation time.
Public humiliation time? Oh, sweet, the quiz! I almost forgot!
God.
Yes, this is going to be good.
It's alright, you know one answer already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first question. I pretty much just did this because I knew Pete was going to be on. It would be a gimme for you. What was Castlevania Circle of the Moon known as in Europe?
So you said it's just called Castlevania?
Yep.
Castlevania?
You didn't know that, though?
No.
Pete, weren't there a bunch of them that are just called Castlevania over there?
They're all called Castlevania. I think the only exceptions were like Castlevania 2 and Castlevania 3. Every single other one, they chop off the subtitle for some inexplicable reason.
Weird.
I think around about sort of Portrait of Ruin, they thought, no, this is ridiculous. We can't have three DS games all called Castlevania with slightly different box art. So they have started putting them on now. But up until that point.
All the GBA ones are just called Castlevania?
They're all called Castlevania.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Who runs these companies?
Honestly. Okay. Question number two. Everyone knows about the active time battle system used in Final Fantasies 4 through 9. What was the name of Final Fantasy X's battle system?
Oh, shit. You know? What is it?
It's the conditional turn-based system.
Okay, that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Whoa. You might win this one, AJ.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Okay. Question three. The main character of GTA 3 made a cameo in what other game in this series?
My guess would be Liberty City Stories on the PSP. No. Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto, Liberty City Stories.
No. Nope.
Oh, you're saying no. I thought you were saying yep.
No.
Wait. Well, what is it?
It's San Andreas.
Oh, San Andreas.
Okay, we have... I don't know if I want to give this to you.
You never said no.
If Pete also knows what the character's name is, because it was only unveiled in San Andreas, I'll give you a full point.
I do not know what his name was.
Damn.
Oh, man. Make it black. I need to be black to know this.
Huh?
Make the text black, otherwise I can't remember what his name was.
Hang on.
Yeah, if only you, Claude. Yeah, it turns out his name is
Son
Claude.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, as a guy, I was going to give that to you. I'll give you half a point.
Okay.
You got half a point. Number four. Name the starship in which Master Chief first awakes on in Halo Combat Evolved.
The Pillar of Autumn.
All right. You got 3 points. Could have had four. Fuck. Question five.
My bad.
It's okay.
Mystery shipped on how many discs for the PC?
Part of me wants to say it was just one. It was a DVD. But I'm not 100% on that. I know I have it on a DVD now as part of a reissue.
I'll say this. It's not a trick question.
It's not?
Yes. It's not one, you dummy.
Okay.
All right.
Then it had to be, like, three.
Correct answer is four.
Really? Shit.
Bonus question. Name the girl from Ico.
Oh, crap.
This is going to be one of those ones I'll know when I hear it. Once again, Paige is screaming.
All right, you guys are done.
Okay, what
it's
is
Yorda,
it?
I think.
Yep.
Yorda or something like that. Make it black, so I'm sure.
Yeah, Yorda.
Yorda. All right.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sorry.
This is 2-1.
A leftover from a previous quiz. Don't worry about that. All right. Well, it was a valiant effort, you two.
Thanks.
Better performance by Pete, really. Good job, Pete. All right, our week in gaming. I just played some DS games.
You played Sheeran the Wanderer.
Not, yeah, but I died like right before we went on vacation.
You refused to play against. You could get on a Wi-Fi hotspot. Well, because
I got someone to send me the revival scroll, but I was never on a Wi-Fi to get the scroll. So the only way I can play again was by restarting everything. Because if you die in that game, you literally lose everything, except for items that you put in like the storage house. But you know, if an item's worth keeping, why would I put it in storage? Why wouldn't I bring it out with me? You know, I don't know. It's fun though. But so I tried.
It's a roguelike, right?
Yeah, it's a roguelike, very intense.
Yeah. Have you ever played one before?
The only other one I ever played was that Chocobo game that came out for the Wii not too long ago. But luckily, all these games are actually very similar. So even though that game is much easier, it kind of helped prepare me for this immensely.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And also, I played Crystal Chronicles a bit, and I just got frustrated because like I did the one thing where you get to a save point, and then 2 hours later you're in a dungeon and you die and you lose all that progress. So I just said, screw it, I'm done with this forever. I just didn't. Like, that game just has so many design issues that frustrate the hell out of me. Like, to pick up items, you have to push, like, the Y button. But you can also pick up your character, like, all of your friends. So you're constantly accidentally picking people up. Your AI partners are as stupid as shit. And it makes you do all this isometric platforming, which is just annoying.
Yeah, God.
And it's one of those games that have puzzles, not because they want you to think, but they're just annoying. Like, it's like, pick this thing up and put it on this thing, and then the door will open, maybe. I just can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. You know, apologies to Milky. Can't take it. How about you, AJ? What'd you do?
So, as I think I mentioned, I picked up Infamous today, this afternoon. I only got like a half hour in with it before I had to record. But it's still supremely awesome, and I love it. And actually, like, I was worried that it was going to be one of those games where, you know, like, you have your morality system. And, like, it was an issue I had in Fallout, where the backstory, like, for you to play an evil character makes no sense given the backstory. But so far, it kind of does. Because one of the first moral choices you're given is there's a bunch of food that you find. And you're left with the choice of letting everybody have some of it, and you may only get, like, a couple days' worth of food out of it. Or you can scare everybody off, and you keep all of it for you, your best friend, and your girlfriend, thinking, you know, we could feed ourselves for weeks with this stuff. And then she gets really upset with you for doing this, and you try to say, you know, I was doing it for us, and she leaves you. So it kind of gives a reason why he's now a little bit pissed off at the world. Hmm. So I was happy to see that work. But, you know, it does that thing. It happened with Crackdown, too, because the demo, you're fully powered, maxed out, walking god. And so now to go back to the actual game where, like, you can't zip along the power lines, you can't float. I don't even have the grenades yet. So it's kind of like adjusting to that, but it's still really, really awesome. And I'm going to play it as soon as we're done recording. I also got Myst on the iPhone, which is, you know, it's
Myst. Misty.
But it works phenomenally well on the device. And, you know, you do swipes to move around and everything.
Is it like that newer Myst that came out, or does it look like old
No,
Myst?
It's old Myst. It's the pre-rendered, you know, slideshow.
It's not real Myst.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's not the 3D one they did, which is very good, by the way. There's something else.
We played a lot of Scrabble on your iPhone.
Yeah, we played it. That was our go-to time killer. If we were waiting in line for a ride last week, was we would get on the iPhone and play Pass and Play Scrabble, which was a lot of fun, actually. Mm. Oh, we should mention we played Guitar Hero Arcade.
Right, which was all over the place and very popular.
But of course, you can't hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. And there's a lot
which
of
is a little hard for a music game. And also, hammer-ons don't work very well.
But it's Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, pretty much. I know there's one other thing I really wanted to talk about that I'm now completely forgetting about.
What, Peggle?
I think I talked about it before. It's Peggle on the iPhone. It's still good.
Well, I don't think there were very many interesting arcade games we played.
No.
I found out that there was a Bubble Bobble 3, and I got to play that a little bit.
Yeah,
that was
exciting.
Cool. Bubble Memories, the story of Bubble Bobble 3.
They actually did a Bubble Bobble 3 just for home computers as well. It was quite interesting. It was called Parasol Stars. Yeah. And it had Bub and Bob as the kids from Rainbow Islands. And you had umbrellas, and you could basically hit monsters with umbrellas, or you could catch raindrops on it and throw raindrops at them. It was a really good game.
Hmm. I love those Bubble Bobble games. Anything with Bub and Bob in them in any human/dinosaur form is awesome.
What do you got, Pete?
I finally finished Persona 4.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Man, yeah. I knew you would beat it before me.
Yep.
Even with my massive head start.
I beat it before Rock God as well, so he was so to be pissed off about that. But yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say that, yeah, it's a phenomenal game.
All right, Pete. Better or worse than Persona 3?
Well,
your choice.
I've actually gone back to playing FES now for my sins, so I'm going to try and compare them. I mean, my first impression is better. They've certainly polished the gameplay a lot more than Persona 3 was. There's a lot of clunkiness in Persona 3 that they managed to get rid of for Persona 4, and I really like the cast in Persona 4. But going back to 3 as well, there's a lot of really good stuff in there as well. So I'm going to reserve judgment until I've played FES, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they're certainly both excellent games.
What party did you end up? What characters did you end up using in your party for the final 7?
Yeah, I beat the game with Chie and Yukiko and Yosuke, actually. So the three you start with.
See, that's what I would say. That's who I kind of want to just play through it with too. That's who's still in my party. I just don't. Yeah, it's like I feel like those four have like the biggest kind of I don't know connection going. Which girl did you end up dating?
I was a Yukiko man.
Yukiko. Yeah, whatever. Chie all the way, please.
Come on now, justify this to me. What's your thing for Chie then?
Chie is the girl next door. Chie's more...
Which one's which?
Chie is the short hair one, brown.
Yukiko's the long dark hair.
Yukiko to me seems so much more like the Japanese ideal of a pretty girl. And I almost kind of get that in the way the game acts like everyone like would think that Yukio is the most beautiful girl in the game. But I feel like Americans are more drawn towards Chie. She's kind of like...
Looks like
oh,
Betty
she's,
and Veronica kind of thing to me.
Right, she's very sporty, fit, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of. She's not like a perfect student. Yukio's too perfect and kind of annoying for it.
I'm starting to get a little freaked out right now.
Well, shut up, bad guy. You would understand.
She looks like she's 12, though. It kind of freaked me out a bit.
She does not look like she's 12.
So it does.
Oh, she does not.
I'm just going to move my chair over a little bit.
She does not. At least it's not that... At least it's not that one person who is who pretended to be a guy for a while, and it's like supposed to be shocking when you find out that this person was a girl. Like, oh yeah, no kidding.
That, oh no, 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 that, yeah, that is one thing I'll say. That was stupid, stupid.
Yeah, like, shocker.
Yeah,
yeah, not so much. Well, no, but I would take what's her face, the idol, before I would take Yukiko.
Really? Freak.
Rize.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take her.
Fair enough. She's all mine then. You guys just share Chie around, and I'll have Yukiko to myself then.
That's fine. Very well then. Okay, that was creepy. Let's move on. What else did you do?
I've also decided to do a Resident Evil retrospective as well. So I managed to pick up all the old GameCube versions of them a while back. So I've started having a go at Resident Evil 0, which is one of a couple that I've never finished before. So I've been playing that a little bit as well. And I was talking to AJ about this, but once you've adjusted to it, if you can adjust to it, yeah, it's still a good game and it's still interesting to play. But if you can't adjust to it, or if you never like Resident Evil, then yeah, it's a pain in the ass. But it's a good game. And the thing that struck me the most is those GameCube versions still look amazing. They still look really, really good.
I heard that a lot of people had problems with kind of the inventory system in Resident Evil 0.
Well, it's weird, because there's no item boxes, but you can drop items anywhere. So yeah, you can just leave an item in a room. But, I mean, I haven't got to a situation where that's been a problem yet, but I can imagine if you move on somewhere else and you've left items behind, that could be an issue. But when you move from the first setting in the game, which is on a train, to the sort of mansion setting that you seem to spend most of your time in, the train crashes and conveniently just scatters all the items you drop throughout the train in a big pile outside the front carriage. So I don't know if they'll do that again later on, but they seem to get around the issue of leaving stuff behind. That's one thing that really stung me only on Code Veronica, I think, one time I played it, is you get to a boss fight, and if you've forgotten to bring the grenade launcher with you, you are fucked. Mm. But I've not run into any issues like that with Zero yet. It is reminding me how difficult Resident Evil games are, though. When you compare them to a lot of modern games, which hold your hand a lot more, Resident Evil does not hold your hand at all. And you have to know when to run and when to fight. And a lot of games these days, you're used to just fighting by default. But there's been a lot of times in Zero where the smart thing to do is just turn tail and run as fast as you can away from something.
I remember when I was playing through Resident Evil 4, even with Beige, there were a lot of times where I was like, okay, we should just run away from this, and Beige really just wanted to fight. and usually he would have his way, and we'd find some way to get by and fight and win with by skin of our teeth. It was always exciting.
I mean, the main reason I'm doing this is I've still never played 4 or 5, which I know I really should, but I've got some kind of weird mental block against playing them for some reason. I want to play them, and I've got 4. But I still haven't got around to it yet. But I thought it'd be quite nice to do a retrospective of all of them.
Right. So. Well, play 5 with a buddy, and it'll be good.
Yeah.
4 is just great. I love 4 still. I think 4 is amazing. But, again, I'm someone who doesn't really like those older Resident Evils. So I don't know how someone who is, you know, actually is a fan of those will react to it.
Yeah. That's about all I've been playing, really. Apart from I managed to pick up a 20-year-old Atari computer with 64K of memory.
Nice.
So I've been playing with that. It's the most 80s computer you'll ever see. It's brown and cream with silver buttons.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and it's got a floppy disk drive that's it's twice the size of my stack of 2 external hard drives. And the disks hold 27K of data. It's brilliant.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but I've been revisiting some old games on that and sort of seeing where a lot of games first started and where a lot of developers started as well. I was very interested to discover that Archon, that Beige talked about a lot on the Commodore 64 podcast, one of the guys involved with that is actually one of the guys who ended up producing Star Control 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice little twist. But yeah, that's been nice to revisit those games and things as well.
All right. Yeah. Hey, have you been hearing about Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden?
I have, yeah. I can't help thinking I'm missing something because I don't really know who Charles Barkley is. But
yeah, he's the British guy. Suffice to say, he's a basketball player from the mid to late 90s who played for Phoenix, I believe. And
he played a lot of people. He played.
I got that much. And I like the sound of the game just for how ridiculous it sounds. I don't know. I don't know if it will mean quite so much to me as it obviously does to Mike, though. But
it would help if you saw the
movie
Space Jam.
Yeah, just go watch Space Jam somehow.
Yeah.
Go see Space Jam and you'll understand.
I have seen Space Jam. Yeah.
Yeah, gotta do that. All right, let's get to these releases.
Okay.
What happened while we were gone?
The downloads return.
What is this?
I know. See, I was saving this. One of the WiiWare games released this week is Bubble Bobble Plus.
What the hell is this?
I think it has four-player mode.
What the hell is this?
It's Bubble Bobble. What is it?
Oh, my God.
You.
What?
You know, I can't see you right now, but I don't want to.
No, you don't. It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all
oh
right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
I think I have points for this.
All right. Well, go get it.
Oh, my God.
We also have Adventure Island, the beginning of the WiiWares.
Whatever.
The Virtual Console release is the Genesis version of Clay Fighter.
Wasn't... There was a 64 version of this game at some point, wasn't
63
it?
And a third.
Yeah. Very funny, huh?
The DSi, funny. Something called American Pop Star Road to Celebrity. And in Clay case, the built-in clock or the Animal Crossing clock aren't enough for you. There's just now the photo clock.
Sweet!
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
On Xbox Live Arcade, Boggle... Something called Yusamin Live, which I believe is a puzzle game.
Apparently that's really good.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. Mm. And Wallace and Gromit, Episode 1 from Telltale Games, which I played the PC demo for and enjoyed immensely.
Mm.
This is where I'm going to insert the PlayStation Network titles because they're not out yet. Can I just get some oh cools from you guys?
Indifference.
I'll use that. Okay.
Cool.
Oh, wow. PlayStation sure has some great games, don't they, Pete?
Awesome!
And on good old games, they released Hegemonia Gold Edition, which I'm actually interested in, because I remember playing the demo for that back in the day, and it was really complicated, but really cool-seeming kind of space opera sim kind of thing. And Celtic Kings, Rage of War. I don't know what that is.
Oh, wow!
Wicked.
Yes, very nice.
I realize I forgot to open up the retail releases, so I'll do that for you right
Ash guy.
Yeah, yeah. You don't do this for a week and you forget everything.
That's right. You're a mess.
I'm terrible.
All right. Infamous came out. We all know PS3. Damnation. What the hell? Damnation? I don't know. PC, 360, PS3. Crimson Gem Saga. It's a turn-based RPG for the PSP. There that is. Cross Edge, whatever, for the PS3. Age of Pirates 2. The City of Abandoned Ships.
Wasn't there one of those in Pirates of the Caribbean 3?
Yeah. That's
Shipwreck.
That's another game that doesn't need a subtitle.
Delta Force Extreme 2 PC. Trash Panic for the PS3.
That's entirely possible. That's the PlayStation Network release for today.
Hinterland Orc Lords PC. The Up game for 360, PSP, Wii, DS, PS3, PS2. I wonder how that is. I'm very excited to see Up on Friday in 3D. That's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurant Empire 2 for the PC. See, I like how it's not the whole tycoon phase has finally been done with.
It's Empires.
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper for PC. What the hell? The Munchables for Wii. Dragon Sky PC. Personal Trainer Walking for the DS. That's an interesting
It turns your DS into a wireless pedometer. You probably need a Game Boy Advance port, though. Mm-hmm.
Jake Hunter, Detective Story, Memories of the Past for the DS. Okay.
This looks vaguely Hotel Dusk-esque. I don't know, though.
Kind of. I don't know if it actually is. All right, everyone. So that's that, and that's the show. Pete, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. You can find us on SquadronOfShame.com, as well as at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at torpilto@gmail.com.
EdgeGuy@SquadronOfShame.com.
And AngryJedi@SquadronOfShame.com.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the show.
E3's next week. It's going to be sweet. Yeah, and like I said before, check our Twitter. Depending on how things are going and our schedules, we might do daily E3 shows. at the end of each day of the conference. There's like enough.
If nothing else, maybe like if all of the press, because the press conferences are when cool things really happen.
Right.
Like the 4 days aren't really quite the best. But we'll see. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.